Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to begin today's broadcast by simply talking about something that is of great concern to me as we end our fiscal year. Many of you who have been following the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for years know that we have the ending of our calendar year, but we also have the ending of our fiscal year, which comes up June 30. So before we take your calls, I want to say just a few words about that. And by the way, I will be taking your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Let me start by saying this. Omar Bradley, who was one of the most famous American generals of World War II, reflected on the horrendous war that had concluded only 3 years earlier. And in his reflection, he said, "We know that unless free people stand boldly and united against the forces of aggression, they may fall wretchedly, one by one, into the web of oppression." And although aggression, and you can think about aggression in Syria or Afghanistan, is blatantly physical in the sense that Bradley was talking about it, the aggression that most concerns me is of a far more subtle nature. It is the relentless assault on life and truth, and even the assault on common decency right here in our own backyards. It's an assault we're called to resist with every fiber of our being. The assault on life through abortion now claims over 1.2 million unborn babies per year. You know, we say the 0.2 as though it's nothing. But think about this. 1.2 million unborn babies per year. That's more than 57 million since Roe v. Wade. 57 million. These are chilling numbers that should cause us to weep and wail in anguish, and yet the silent Holocaust continues 24/7 with rarely so much as a comment in our national news. And what about the assault on truth? Well, in some sectors, the combined ravages of postmodern deconstructionism as well as secularism have so disemboweled traditional notions of truth that even the concept of objective truth or moral absolutes now sounds, well, curiously quaint. Consider, for example, the appalling state of biblical illiteracy. Fewer than half of all adults today can name the four Gospels. Think about that for a moment. Fewer than half of all adults today can name all four of the Gospels. Almost none of them can name the 12 disciples. A considerable number of respondents to one poll I saw indicated that Billy Graham preached the Sermon on the Mount. And decency? Well, from the raunchy antics of Miley Cyrus to the stinging vitriol of today's political discourse, you truly have to wonder if the new barbarians don't already have the upper hand. Bradley was right. We have men of science, but far too few men of God. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. The world has achieved brilliance without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. Let me repeat that. A world of nuclear giants, but ethical infants. And that's my reason to speak to you today. It's not to whine, but on the contrary, it's to blow a clarion trumpet and mobilize serious Christians to join the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast in a fight for the very future of life and truth as we know it. Throughout history, there have been three stages in the demise of civilizations. You go from spiritual apostasy to moral depravity, and from moral depravity to political anarchy. And while thankfully we have yet to reach the stage of political anarchy, no thinking person can doubt that we are well beyond the initial stage of apostasy and we're gaining momentum on moral depravity. Just as the sheer, material might of North America played a pivotal role in crushing the tyranny that threatened free peoples during World War II, so too the Christian Research Institute's financial resources play a pivotal role in our ability to stand daily for life and truth. The brutal fact is that without the resources to continue standing for life and truth, we are as inconsequential as soldiers who have run out of ammo. And again, because our financial year closes June 30, I'll ask you to please do what you can today. If for some reason that's not possible, please be sure to mark your gift postmarked by June 30. Again, all of this month, the ending of our fiscal year, we have a very substantial goal to meet, and we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I don't have the number right in front of me, but we had somewhere in the vicinity of 110 or 120 people join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team last month as well, for which I'm very, very grateful. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. As always, again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Sal first in Pennsylvania, listening on WVCH. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Hank. I have two real quick questions. Children of the Old Testament, like David was told to go out and kill all the women, children, and do the children go to heaven of non-believers?
Well, first of all, what we have to do is say that where the Bible is largely silent, we don't want to scream. But the theological deduction, from my perspective, is yes. David had a child with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the former wife of Uriah the Hittite. And when the child died, David had a certainty that that child would one day be reunited with him in eternity. And so while we don't have clear indications of Scripture, I think that we can base a certain answer on the reality that God is both a God of love as well as a God of justice. So I leave those children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. In the prologue to the question, however, you mentioned the genocide of women and children. And I think you have to contextualize that statement by what the Scriptures are really saying. The command to destroy them totally, and this comes in Deuteronomy chapter 7, is contextualized by the words, "Do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your sons and your daughters away from following me to serve other gods." So the aim of God's command was not the obliteration of the wicked, but the obliteration of wickedness. And we have ample reason to believe that not everyone was killed, those who turn from their evil ways like offering their sons and daughters to idols, like putting their children in infanticide in the arms of an idol like Baal, where they would literally be burnt to death. Those who refrained and turned from their wicked ways after God had warned them for over 400 years were spared on account of their faith. Rahab, of course, and her family, the quintessential example. On account of her faith, she was allowed to live among the Israelites and become true Israel herself, such that she is in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's always important to qualify the whole idea that people bring up ad nauseum, ad infinitum, of genocide on the part of the God of the Old Testament. It's important to recognize that blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel is still a maxim that applies in that context as it does today.
Okay, I got one other real quick question. When a non-believer dies, do they go directly to hell, and then after that they come back in their bodies and they go to the judgment, and then they're cast into the lake of fire again?
Well, no. The way that you have to look at this is to recognize the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 16.
Right.
Now, there's a rich man who dies and ends up in torment. That torment is an earnest of that which is to come, because the rich man, just like anyone who dies today, is absent the body, and either in torment or in the presence of the Lord. Lazarus, the beggar lying at his gate, is in the presence of the Lord. The biblical text tells us the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom or paradise, a way of saying that he is being comforted by being in the presence of the Lord. What happens when Jesus appears a second time, Jesus explains himself. He says, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." And so when Jesus appears a second time, the soul of the rich man will return to his body. The soul of Lazarus will return to his body. Those bodies will be resurrected. They will be judged. And then the rich man will not only experience an earnest or a foretaste of hell, but hell itself, which is separation from the goodness and grace of God for all eternity. The same thing for Lazarus, except in reverse. Lazarus will be resurrected to eternal life, which is the imago Dei, or the image of God within him, will be restored, and he will forever experience the resurrected Christ. He will experience a restored universe and forever explore the glory and goodness of the God who saved him by his grace.
Thank you, Hank. I thank you for answering my questions, taking the time to do that. I appreciate it.
You are absolutely welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John. He's in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, John.
Hey there, Hank. I just want to tell you, I just finished Has God Spoken. That's probably my 8th or 10th book that you've ever written. I've been listening to you for years and years and years, and I just I really, really praise God for your ministry. You're doing incredible work around the globe.
Thank you so much, John.
I actually have two questions, but I think I might only have time for one, so I'll just ask the one that seems most perplexing to me. I've often heard you talk about when we die, you know, we talk about heaven, and we talk about that as something that is not locational, but relational, because the spirit does not have, you know, it doesn't take up space. And it got me to thinking, well, where is the resurrected Christ? He's got a physical body of flesh and bone. And so, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let's speak of location, perhaps. I don't know.
Sure, of course it does, because Jesus being physical, Theanthropos, the God-man, he has locational qualities. And some people suppose that he ascended into heaven. And in other words, he made a direct ascent upward, or if you're in Tonga at the time, you'd be going downward. But even if he was traveling at the speed of light, he wouldn't be out of our little universe right now. And as I've quipped a few times, he would must surely be struggling with oxygen deprivation right now. So the idea of Christ ascending has not so much to do with going up in a particular direction, but transcending time and space. And it's Theanthropos, the God-man, that is perfectly consistent with his nature. And when you think about the domain of God, it is as though there is a veil that separates the habitation of God from the habitation of humanity. When Jesus appears a second time, it's not like he's coming from a long distance somewhere, but that veil is removed and he becomes apparent to us. He is now apparent to us physically, spiritually. He will then be apparent to us spiritually as well. It's a deep question. So much more could be said, but I am up against the clock. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text, verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's Magic Apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, Included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Between April 2014 and September 2015, four lunar eclipses will occur, along with a single total solar eclipse. In his book, Four Blood Moons, Christian Zionist John Hagee argues that such stellar events have always signaled a major change in Jewish history, which will occur this time in fulfillment of Scripture. But is this approach to end-time prophecy sound? The current issue of the Christian Research Journal refutes John Hagee's magic apologetics. Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to John just before the break, I think I got my tongue tangled up in my teeth at the very end. Someone mentioned to me that I meant one thing and said another thing. What I was attempting to say is that Jesus was once available to his disciples physically. When he transcends time and space, he is available to them spiritually, but no longer available to them physically. When Jesus appears a second time, the veil between the domain of God and the domain of humanity will be removed, and then Jesus will be available to us both spiritually and physically. And let me point out that to say Jesus ascended into heaven, as we were talking about before we went to break, does not imply that he's traveling through space, but rather that as the God-man, he transcended time and space. Another way of saying that is heaven is not located in time and space. It exists in another dimension. The physical universe doesn't exhaust reality. Sometimes we think it does, but it most certainly does not. The notion that the creator of the universe transcended his universe, therefore, should not pose any problems whatsoever. I should also note that God often uses physical examples to point to spiritual realities, and therefore the physical fact of Christ's ascension points to the greater truth that he is now glorified in the presence of God and that our glorification is divinely guaranteed as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joe. Joe is listening in Memphis, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Well, my question for you, Brother Hank, is I've always kind of wondered, you know, if say, a non-believer, this child has been raised to believe this, say, pagan religion from the time he or she was born, and then he or she goes on and dies, would that exclude them from going on to eternity with Jesus in heaven?
Well, remember that everyone who wants to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, anyone who wants to follow Jesus Christ as the wisest man who ever lived as God in human flesh, will in no way be cast off. And as you are a participant in the kingdom, believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you become ever more familiar with his precepts and principles. And as you do, you are able to communicate them to others as well. And not only that, but your relationship with the Lord deepens incredibly as well. So anyone who genuinely wants a relationship with God can have that relationship. And it doesn't matter what part of the planet you live on. As Paul said, Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So we all have, no matter where we are, the light of creation the heavens declaring the glory of God. We also have the light of conscience. So God has given us an outer light, the universe in which we live, which attests to the fact that there has to be a universe maker. And then the inner light, which is a knowledge of himself written upon the canvas of our consciousness. But he has also given us the light of Christ, which is to say, if we respond to the light of creation and the light of conscience, we will also receive the light of Christ. I was talking to Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, earlier today, and quoting Pascal, who said, in essence, that God gives us enough light so that we can get more light, and he also lives in enough obscurity so that if we don't want the light, he will remain hidden to us.
I see. Yeah, that helps me out a little more. It was just a question that someone, because I'm all the time witnessing the people, you know, of course, you know, it's just in me, you know, I got the good news, so I have to get it out, so I'm always, you know, trying to tell one of another about them, and then someone asked me that question, and it kind of stumped me a little bit, because they actually were like, well, you know, God does, you know, loves us so much, you know, or, you know, if he's, you know, won't allow, you know, if you don't accept Christ, but what about those, you know, that, you know, have been raised to believe this way for so long, and then they die, and then, you know, will that exclude them from heaven? And I was like, I told them no.
We don't believe in universalism. Yeah, we don't believe in universalism. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. But that's why I explained it further by saying that all of us, no matter where we live on planet Earth, have the light of creation. We not only have the light of creation, but we have the light of conscience. And if we respond to those lights, we can also have the light of Christ. That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. Speaking for God, he said, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So God is not hiding on us, nor is he trying to stick obstacles in our pathway. Rather, he has opened the door for relationship to all who would seek it.
That makes perfect sense. See, and I know that in my heart, sometimes, you know, I can't get it out to come out right. But yeah, that's pretty much how I think. It was just, I was wanting to get a better way of understanding, of hearing, you know, someone with a little more knowledge explain it that way. Maybe when that question is asked to me again in the future, I'll be able to enlighten them a little bit more than with just a yes.
Well, you know what I love about what you're doing there, Joe? This is precisely what I've been trying to teach people to do for a long time. So you're asked a question. You're caught like a deer in the headlights, as you sort of expressed it. You don't know how to answer the question, so what do? You research and return. You find the answer, and then you use that answer. And you allow the Lord to give the increase. But now what's going to happen is the next time you get that question, you're going to be far more prepared to communicate the biblical worldview.
That's exactly the reason why I kind of gave you a call. You know, I listen to you every day on my way home, and you're such an enlightenment to it. And then, you know, you got everybody else's questions, and it's just a blessing, man, to have y'all out here on the radio like that, spreading the gospel. And y'all enlighten me on so many different ways, man. And, Brother Hank, I just want to appreciate you and your network, and it does a lot of good out here for people.
Well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dean. He's listening in Kissimmee, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Hank, I just recently picked up a publication. I'm a truck driver. I pick up stuff at, truck stops when I see them. Stuff that pertains to, the Lord and stuff like that. And this publication I picked up is called National Sunday Law, and it's written by A. Jan Markussen. And it started out basically through symbolism, comparing the the beast, like in Daniel 7 and in Revelation 17, as being representative of the Catholic Church and the papacy. And then it started talking about how the Sabbath was switched over to, you know, being worshipped on Sunday versus Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, what was your take on that? I mean, I understand how I believe it was Constantine that first changed it, that it was first Sunday was where Sunday worshipers were pagans and stuff like that. I was wondering, what's your take on all of that?
The idea that the Roman Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon, or that Sunday worship is the end time mark of the beast, or even that Constantine changed the day of worship, is obscurantism in its highest form. It is just unconscionable rhetoric, and unfortunately there are magazines and people that are communicating this kind of nonsense to the public. Let me give you the biblical answer. First of all, in remembrance of the resurrection, the early Christian church, not Constantine, but the early Christian church changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. So long before Constantine, who gets blamed for a lot of stuff, the day of worship was changed. And then within weeks, thousands of Jews were willing to give up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. Why? Because God himself had provided the early church with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. Now, Scripture provides us with the reasons behind the symbol of the Sabbath. In Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's work in creation. After the Exodus, the Sabbath expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And then as a result of the resurrection, the Sabbath emphasis shifted once again. It became a celebration of the rest we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin in the grave. And here's the kicker. The reality is that for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. The reason we worship the first day of the week is not because we're abrogating the fourth commandment, but because we are heightening its expression in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, it is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. There are a lot of people who want to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And that is the most dangerous of all snares. And if you think about Sabbatarian laws, worshiping on Saturday as opposed to Sunday, those who say that if you worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, you've taken on the mark of the beast, if they want to insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, then they also have to be ready to stone someone for working on the Sabbath, because that was part of what was required under a theocracy, the direct rule of God over his people. But as the Apostle Paul explains, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So again, the magazine is a bunch of nonsense, quite frankly, and it is not only just plain nonsense, but very dangerous nonsense. We're coming to station break. Got a lot of interesting questions coming up. Brian in Syracuse, New York, he's listening on the web. He's got a question about where Jesus ascended from, if I understand the question here. As I'm looking at the board, many other callers, interesting questions. We'll be at them in just a few moments.
As you survey the rapidly changing spiritual landscape of America today, here's a question you might ponder. As Christians, will we fight the good fight or continue to sink deeper into the abyss of a new dark age? As the battle for truth continues to intensify, let's remember it's not merely truth that is at stake. It is civilization as we have known it, along with the precious freedoms we enjoy that were won for us at so great a price. Your generous gift today will be a loud and clear signal that you're not on the sidelines merely observing the battle. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI and arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. To stand with us for life and truth, go online to equip.org to make a generous gift. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's magic apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Over the years, Joyce Meyer has been severely criticized for her Word of Faith teachings, but some Christians maintain that she no longer teaches those doctrines and should be evaluated strictly in terms of her present ministry. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal looks at Joyce Meyer's more recent teachings to see if her doctrine has really changed. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Brian. He's listening in Syracuse, New York on the World Wide Web. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
That's good. Well, you know what? I'm researching so I can return.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question. I have a good question from a friend of mine who's an atheist, and we've been dialoguing back and forth. And he says to me, well, you know, if the Bible isn't contradictory, tell me, where did Christ ascend from? From the Mount of Olives as Acts 1, 9 through 12 suggests, or from Bethany, as in Luke 24, 50 to 51 suggests? What's the answer, Hank?
Well, the first thing I would say to this gentleman with gentleness and with respect is, look, both accounts are written by Dr. Luke, and therefore he is not likely to contradict himself. And certainly, when you think about Dr. Luke, his credentials as a historian are absolutely impeccable. And therefore, you wouldn't think that a doctor with impeccable credentials is likely to contradict himself, particularly in the matter of history, where he was a seasoned veteran. So what's going on? If you look at Luke chapter 24, what that actually tells us is that when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, speaking of Jesus Christ, he was taken up into heaven. And Acts 1, Dr. Luke says, after Jesus had ascended, the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, which was a Sabbath day's walk from the city. So there's no contradiction there whatsoever, because Bethany is a village on the Mount of Olives, and it's about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem, if you've ever been to the Holy Land. So the accounts are perfectly consistent with one another. So this is what I call a supposed contradiction. It's not a contradiction in fact.
Boy, that made it sound very simple. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, well, so you get the thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes complete and total sense.
Yeah, good.
And if I could give you a quick one.
Sure.
Have you ever saw the front line from Jesus to Christ, the first Christians? You see that episode, that piece?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. I walk every Wednesday with my uncle, who is an atheist, and I have a lot of atheists in my family and in my life, and I know, I tell you, I end up going to the equip.org site, type in, because you have a beautiful interface that is intuitive. You can just type in your question, and all your articles concerning that question comes up, and I find myself doing a lot of copying and pasting and texting answers, and I hope you don't mind me plagiarizing you.
Not at all. I mean, we want the wind to blow.
Absolutely. But so the thing is he says, my uncle says to me, watch this front line from Jesus to Christ, and I actually had an opportunity today to watch some of it, and it seems like they're, you know, a lot of theologians and a lot of archaeologists and a lot of heady-minded people are starting to try to explain the account and the history of the Bible and the Gospels, and how it seems like Mark, being that he wrote in the 80s, that he kind of switched maybe the doctrine that Jesus taught to satisfy what was going on in the day.
Now, well, see, this is the problem. I mean, think about someone saying that Mark is written in the 80s. That's absolutely absurd on the face of it. And Mark was written far earlier than that. In fact, all of the Bible was completed by the time that the temple was destroyed in AD 70. And you can see that just through common sense. Imagine if I was writing today about a history of terrorism in America, and I didn't mention the Twin Towers. That would be unthinkable. I mean, that would be at the epicenter of my narrative. And imagine if you are now Mark writing after the temple is destroyed and never mentioning the destruction of the very edifice that gave the Jews their sociological and spiritual underpinnings. That's unthinkable. Not only that, but imagine one of the gospel writers not picking up on the fulfillment of Christ's prophecy, because he did prophesy that the temple would be destroyed. Imagine if you are writing after the fact, not mentioning that prophecy had been fulfilled. Of course you would, because that was the pattern of the prophets. So the very notion that Mark has written in the 80s shows a tremendous amount of historical ignorance, as well as a lack of common sense.
Yes, that makes sense. That does makes perfect sense. Well, I appreciate your your ministry so much that I am a monthly supporter, and I quite haven't found a church that I'm comfortable in. And I used to be there Sunday, Monday, Wednesdays, Thursdays for many years, and I found myself slipping away until I happened upon your broadcast a year ago. And I have to tell you, God has used this ministry to spark my desire and fire and run full speed for Jesus all over again. And it wasn't coincidental that I happened upon this program, and I credit this ministry. That's why I basically tithe to this ministry until I feel a good church home, for sparking the desire and the fire for Christ back in my life and making him the central theme of my day. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't know what to say except thank you very much. That was, I'm sure, inspiring to a lot of people and certainly to me. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Bless you, Brian. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike. He's listening in Willow Spring, North Carolina, WCRU. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. First, I'd like to just thank you and CRI for your ministry and your contribution to the kingdom of God. And like the gentleman before mentioned, I have recently become a partner. I've been listening to you for several months, so I'm very happy about that.
Bless you.
I just had a comment and a quick question, Hank.
Sure.
And my comment was regarding these The Heaven Is For Real and the like movies that are out in the mainstream now and how you have diligently been reporting coverage on this. It's just surprising to me that people are not questioning the validity of these visions when the Apostle Paul clearly states explicitly in 2 Corinthians 12, when he was taken up to paradise, unspeakable words which a man is not lawful to utter. And so to me, I'm just kind of surprised that people aren't questioning some of the things that these people or children are seeing.
Yeah. You know, before you get into your question, let me comment on that, because on this Thursday and Friday's shows, we're going to have some inspiring words from Beth Malarkey on this broadcast. Her son became a quadriplegic as a result of a car accident. And as a result of that event, a book was written called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And it's a near-death experience story. Turns out that the story does not correspond to reality, and that Alex Malarkey, whose name's on the book, is tormented by the fact that his name is on the book, because he knows there are not only factual errors in the book, but also spiritual errors in the book. And so his mom, Beth Malarkey, has sort of uncloaked what's really going on behind the scenes, and it's a pretty eye-opening experience. So all of that's going to take place this Thursday and Friday on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But to your question.
Okay, thanks, Hank, and I'll be sure to catch that. That sounds great. My question is regarding Daniel's 12, if you could expound where in the times of the end, when it mentions the 1,290 days, the 1,290 days, and blessed is he that waits to the 1,335 days, if you could expound on the meaning of that.
Yeah. You know, I've done that in a book called Has God Spoken? And I think the first thing that you have to examine is your presuppositions, because the presupposition is that this has to do with the end of our age, as opposed to something that's happening in the context of the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Remember, Daniel is prophesying in the 6th century before Christ about something that's going to happen 400 years or so hence. And it was on December 14, 164, 7 years after Antiochus had orchestrated the murder of Ananias, and exactly 3 years after he desecrated the temple fortress, after he abolished the daily sacrifice, and after he set up an abomination that causes desolation, that the temple was rededicated and that the daily sacrifice was restored. And by the way, parenthetically, Jesus talks about this when he is communicating an abomination of desolation that is yet in his future. So Jesus is prophesying when he's on the earth about what is going to happen when the temple is not just desecrated, but is going to be manifestly destroyed. And when he does that in the Olivet Discourse, he says, "So when you see, standing in the holy place, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand." So Jesus is pointing back to what happened so that he can use that as a marker for what is going to happen 40 years hence. So Jesus is prophesying in the 30s about what's going to happen in the 70s. By AD 70, and Daniel is prophesying in the 6th century about what's going to happen at this period of time. To just get to the point, as the Jewish prophet Daniel then foretold, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. And as prophesied by Daniel again, Antiochus, the Antichrist of the Old Testament, was finally dead. He was destroyed not by human power, but he was destroyed by the power and province of Almighty God. Why? Because upon hearing that the Jews had regained Jerusalem, the Syrian beast vowed that he was going to make Jerusalem a cemetery for Jews. And so you see that the death of that Old Testament Antichrist might well have been in view when Daniel wrote, "Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days." I lay all of this out sequentially in Has God Spoken, in a section called "The Abomination That Causes Desolation," spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And right after that section, there's a section in which I deal with the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Going to have to leave it at that. The book Has Got Spoken, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We thank everyone who's tuned in. We thank those who made their kind comments and joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I pray that many of you will follow in their train. When you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books as my way of saying thank you. Be happy to personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 in the letter CRI. I look forward to seeing all of you next day, tomorrow, right here.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's magic apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.